بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته، ولا أمة بعد أمته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable brothers and friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The opportunity to speak on the life of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم and to sit little while discussing some aspect of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a great bounty, boon, favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are moments that we need to cherish and we need to bring into our lives, those points that we learn, various points that we pick up in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this short sitting of ours, we intend discussing one of the aspects, the auspicious journey of the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many lessons we learn from the hijrat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah Mukarrama with Sahaba radiallahu anhum persecuted. The lot of punishment, torment was meted out to Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So therefore Sahaba radiallahu anhum were given that opportunity to migrate and to go to Habasha. They came to Africa. So that hijrah did take place. Many an occasion did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu come and he told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, permission for me to go. Nabi said, La ta'ajal, Abu Bakr, don't rush. And eventually comes that opportunity and the time that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving permission to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because permission has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this hijrah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to embark on this hijrah, it wasn't something like a walk into freedom, because Makkah Mukarrama, they were stifled, it was difficult, it was constrained, it was tight. Does it mean they going into open fields and territories? No. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he leaves Makkah Mukarrama, he turns back, addresses Makkah Mukarrama. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ma atyabaki min balad wa ahabbaki ilay. Lawla anna qawmi akhrajuni mink ma sakantu ghayruk." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "O Makkah Mukarrama, how beautiful and how pure and beloved a city are you to me. Had it not been for my people driving me out of Makkah Mukarrama, I would have not taken residence in any other city." Deep down in the heart, that love for Makkah Mukarrama was there in Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Any one of us, we live in an area, 40 years, 50 years, settled businesses, everyone's in a good routine and space. And now to uproot and to go to another country, it's not easy. It's not something like, it's not a walk in a park. It's difficult. Mulana Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi rahimullah says, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, كَأَنَّهُمْ رُضِعُوا بِلِبَانِ حُبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ وَتَعْظِيمِهَا وَامْتَزَجَ ذَلِكَ بِلُحُومِهِمْ وَدِمَائِهِمْ. He says that the love of Sahaba radiallahu anhum was deeply engraved in Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Love for Makkah Mukarrama, love for the city of Makkah Mukarrama, the Kaaba Sharif, was part of the DNA. DNA, we know what it means. The DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. But you're referring to that dini natural attachment that they had with Makkah Mukarrama. The dini natural attachment. DNA for Makkah Mukarrama. So it was hard, it was difficult for Sahaba radiallahu anhum to leave Makkah Mukarramah, yet they were settled. An amazing incidence of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that the extent of sacrifice that was found in the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum in embarking on this journey of hijrat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But prior to this, kuffar get together in Darul Nadwa. This is an area where the chieftains of Makkah Mukarramah would assemble. And here they were discussing, what's the way forward? Now listen, I think so it's enough with Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they're discussing, how do we get rid of him? Na'udhu billah. So as they were discussing, many ideas were being thrown. An old man comes. The narration says, a person from Najd. He puts his hands on the two sides and the framework of the door. And he's listening to the people. He says, what do you all think we should do? So one person says, I think so we need to throw him into a far distant land. Someone says, kill him. Everyone had some idea that they threw. And they tabled how to get rid of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'udhu billah. And eventually, the shaitan amongst men, Abu Jahl, he says, listen, one person cannot be commissioned to do this. One man kill Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. Let's find one youngster from every tribe. These youngsters must band and group up together, and all at one pounce, they must assassinate Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why is this the opinion? He says that if a group has to kill Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they wouldn't be able to collect blood money from one tribe. They cannot pinpoint one person. Now how do they take revenge from so many different tribes? They wouldn't be able to stand against us. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the decision that was taken by the house, we would say, of Darul Nadwa, to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That old man standing there, he says, that's the best idea, let's go with that. So the people looked at him, they says, yes, this man is of intelligence, wisdom, he's got a lot to offer us, let's take his advice, okay, we'll go with that. Narration suggests that that was Shaitan himself. Shaitan came for that meeting and he says, this is how we will go about it. Then Jibreel alayhi salam comes and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hijrat immediately. Tonight you will not even spend in Makkah Mukarramah. Meaning the entire night. Tomorrow morning you should not wake up in Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is preparing to make this hijrat. The first thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does, we're talking about Saudi Arabia, we're talking about Makkah Mukarramah. Imagine a hot, sweltering day in Makkah Mukarramah. Midday, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks, come into the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The daughters alarm him and they say, Abu Bakr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking and coming. He says, it has to be something important. If this time, in this heat he's coming, it is something very important. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in the house, he says, Abu Bakr, أَخْرِجُوا مَنْ فِي الْبَيْتِ أَخْرِجُوا مَنْ هُنَا. Oh Abu Bakr, whoever is in the house has to evacuate. Take everyone out of the house. Very important message. Abu Bakr understood the importance. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only in the house is my family. The two daughters are here and there's no one that can divulge or that can leak any secret out. So Nabi Sam says, okay, if that's the case, Jibreel alayhi salam has come and he has given me permission to embark on the journey of hijrat. Previously Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wanted to go. Nabi sallam told him, La ta'ajal, don't rush. La'alla Allah ayyaj'ala laka sahiba. Allah will choose a companion for you. Abu Bakr, don't rush. Allah will give you a companion. So he's waiting for permission, no ijazat. And here Nabi sallam comes to his house. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam tables it with Abu Bakr and mentions to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu permission that we can embark on this journey of hijrat. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, first question he asked Nabi Sam, As-suhba? Ya Rasulallah, can I accompany you? Can I come with you? Nabi Sam said, Naam, your name was taken, you must come. Your name divinely was taken. You selected to come. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started crying, couldn't control himself. Aisha radiallahu anha says, "Ma kuntu ahsibu anna ahadan yabki min al-farah." I never knew that a man could cry out of happiness until I saw my father cry when he was given permission to accompany Nabi Sallam on the journey of Hijrat. Nabi Sallam is crying, he's in tears, cannot hold himself. Nabi Sallam comforts Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu immediately mobilizes the family, his wealth, and everything in his possession to facilitate the hijrah for Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First thing he comes, he says, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from some time now I bought 2 camels. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is not thinking about himself only, not his family. "I've bought 2 camels, purchased 2. One for me, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the other one is for you. Let's go on hijrat." Nabi Sallam says, "Abu Bakr, no. Thaminuni, quickly. Tell me what's the price we're going to pay for it. I'm not taking it for nothing. I'm going to pay you for it." Abu Bakr says, no, Ya Rasul, it's for you. I bought it with the intention to give it to you, waiting for that opportunity." Nabi Sallam says, "If it is in exchange of money, I will take it. Else I'm not taking it." Eventually, on the insistence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sold it at the price that he purchased it. He says, "Ya Rasulullah, this is the price." But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the lesson, for me to embark on this journey, I also want my money to be used. What about my money being used in the journey of Hijrat? I also want to sacrifice. You want to put your money, alhamdulillah, Allah reward you. But what about my money also for this Hijrat? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam practically wanted to demonstrate to Sahaba radiallahu anhum that my money also must go for this journey of Hijrat. Asma, prepare the food. Asma radiallahu anha, she prepares the food. Now, that box or that pot, or you would say that tiffany, whatever the food was in, there isn't anything to tie it up. No hot pot. There isn't anything to keep it. Asma radiallahu anha takes her belt. She shreds it and tears it into 2 pieces. She uses that to tie the food for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, and she leaves it ready. Due to that incident, Asma radiallahu anha was called Dhatun Nitaqain, the lady of 2 pieces of that belt. She was ready to sacrifice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace your belt with 2 belts in Jannah. Today we will give 1 for the path of Allah. Allah will give us 2 in Jannah. Today we will give 1 for the deen of Allah. Allah will give us double in Akhirat. Abdullah, the son of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is responsible to collect information. And whatever is happening, must relay that to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is preparing. Abu Bakr is preparing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that he was as-sadiqul amin. The trust of the people of Makkah Mukarramah, I have it. Now the arch enemy of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, kufar, the enemies of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they are bloodthirsty. They want to kill Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does not act with hostility, enmity, hatred and a vengeance. What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? "I have got the amanat of people. Ali, you will sleep in my bed today. You discharge all of the amana before you make hijrat. Don't come on hijrat until you don't return everyone's amanat." Allah forgive us, today we go hajj and umrah, we forget about amanat. You owing people money, we say when we come back we'll sort it out. Ya Nabi Sam says, no hijrat until that's not sorted out. The amanat of people. Ali radiallahu anhu is in the bed of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the darkness of night, Nabi Sam is walking out. When Nabi Sam is walking out, by the command of Allah, he recites the first 9 verses of Surah Yasin. Then Nabi Sallam takes some sand and he throws it into the face of the kuffar. And Nabi Sallam exits, goes to the cave of Thawr with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They walk in that direction. Kuffar in the morning, they're waiting. They said when it's bright, they're going to pounce and they're going to attack Nabi Sallam. All are surrounding. One person comes, he knocks them, he taps one. He says, "What you all waiting for?" He says, "Waiting for Muhammad Meaning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says he's gone. He says, no, it can't be he's gone. We're waiting. I mean, the house is surrounded. Can never be he's gone. He says, go check up. They walked in and they opened the door and they see Ali radiallahu anhu sleeping in the bed. So the person, he says, can you all see that you'll have some sand on the shoulder around your faces? They wiped and they said, yes, the sand. We didn't even realize someone even threw the sand. So they wiped it off. They realized that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divinely had found that exit route with the permission and with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Nabi sallam are out of Makkah Mukarramah going towards the mountain, the cave of Thawr. As they are leaving and they going, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes tiptoe. And he tells Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you also tiptoe behind me. Why they will send someone to track our footsteps? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is divinely protected by Allah. What fears are there when Allah has protected him, yet he adopts the means for the hijrat? There is nothing wrong in putting an alarm in the house. There is nothing wrong if a person takes medication, but the reliance is on Allah. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is also tiptoeing. Exactly where Nabi Sam's impression, his footstep is, that's where his footstep will come. Abu Bakr is looking right, left, back, anxious, what it concerned. Nabi Sam says, Abu Bakr, what's happening, Abu Bakr? Nabi Sam, everything is okay? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulallah, not me. Ma'ala nafsi abki. I'm not crying for myself. I'm crying for you. Oh my Habib Salasam, if the kuffar catch you and they assassinate you, then I'm going to be at a loss. I'm crying because I'm scared to lose you. So they come to a point, they have a person with them, a kafir, Abdullah ibn Urayqit. He was a kafir, but they trusted him. He would be their guide on the route not traveled by travelers between Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Tayyibah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told the slave, by night you must bring the animals close to the cave so we can have fresh milk at night. Abdullah, every night you will bring information what's happening in Makkah Mukarramah. Talk of the town, you bring it. Asma, you at night would bring hot food for us. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he mobilized the whole house for the khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As they come to the top of the cave, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, okay, let's go here. Let's go to this cave. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulallah, wait. This cave hasn't been used. Let me go and clean it up. Doesn't have a broom. He's going to use his clothes. He's going to use his extra shawl. He's going to use his hands to clean. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes and he cleans the entire cave. And then he looks into the cave and he sees that there are certain holes in the cave. Perhaps some dangerous, poisonous animal can come out. So he plugs the hole of every hole, he plugs it in that cave. And one was left. He never had any extra clothing to plug that hole. But he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, the cave is clean. Chalo, we can go inside and now we can take some rest. So Nabi sallam is following Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes. One hole, he places his leg against it. And he's sitting, he says, Ya Rasulullah, my Mubarak lap will be your pillow and you lie on me. Abu Bakr will sit up and he'll block and plug that hole with his leg. And Nabi Salman is lying down on his lap and he's sleeping. And an animal or an insect comes and it bites Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on his foot. The pain is excruciating, really painful. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu doesn't even move an inch. Doesn't even say, ooh or ah. No sounds at all. I don't want to disturb my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But one tear trickled down his cheek and fell on Nabi sallam. Nabi sallam woke up. He says, Abu Bakr, everything's okay? He says, Ya Rasulallah. He's tearing. He says, Ya Rasulallah, I just got bitten. Abu Bakr, you got bitten? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is showing respect and love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallam reciprocates it. He says, Abu Bakr, where you got bitten? Showed him that leg. Nabi sallam put his saliva, he rubbed it on that spot. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, after that, he says, forget about getting shifa from that. My leg never pained. Through the barakat of that saliva of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that spot where the saliva of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched, never ever pained after that. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they spend 3 a spider comes and it spins his web at the entrance of the cave. And a bird comes and lays its eggs at the mouth of that cave. So the kuffar come and they said, they come right to the spot where there were footprints. Now they say, we don't know where's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't know which direction he's gone. So they climb the mountain and say, perhaps he's here. Someone said, let's go into the cave. Maybe he's inside. The kuffar said, listen, this spider had spun its web even before you were born. Nabi Sallam can't be inside here. He says, okay, it's fine. But let's just check it up. He says, impossible. See this bird. It's so scared of human movement. You already can see. How would it allow anyone to go in the cave? He said, okay, Nabi Sallam is not here. They go on the top. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu looks up. And he's telling Nabi Sallam, Ya Rasulallah. Ya Rasulallah. And he's crying. Abu Bakr is crying. Nabi Sallam says, Abu Bakr, don't cry. Abu Bakr says, I'm not crying for me, Abu. Ya Rasulallah, I'm crying for you. If this kuffar look down, only they're going to see us. They just have to gaze down, they're going to see us. Abu Bakr is crying. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ayat we also reveal, La tahzan inna allaha ma'ana. Verily Allah is with us. Nabi Sam did not say with me. He said with us. By reference, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is in Quran Sharif. By reference, he is also mentioned in the Quran Sharif. That Abu Bakr, Allah is with us. Relax. Allah has deputed and sent 3 angels to protect me and you. 3 angels are here. They're protecting us. The kuffar will never catch us. They come and they go away. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes out of the cave after 3 days. Abdullah bin Urayqid, that kafir, and the shepherd, eventually they go on the journey of hijrat. When they leave the cave, as they leave the cave, they come to an area very hot. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulallah, take a small break, it's hot. So he takes his shawl, he makeshift tent. Ya Rasulallah, you just take some shade under this shawl of mine. On the side where there's a boulder and a rock. And I'm coming just now. Nabi Sam looks around and he sees a shepherd. He goes to the shepherd. He says, excuse me, who's your master? He says, my master is so and so. He says, who are you? He says, I'm Abu Bakr. He says, listen, my master and you'll go back a very long way. He says, okay, you recognize me. I mean, my master wouldn't even mind if you even take some milk. He says, yes, I need some milk. He says, wait, hold on. Before you milk the animal, take some water and clean those others. I don't want any dust particles coming in the cup of milk of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's hijrat, it's sensitive, it's scary, they're worried. Yet, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was so conscious of the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even in those moments, clean those others. Give me some milk. He says, okay, there's the milk. You've got some cool water because the milk is hot. It's a hot day. We can't give hot milk to Nabi Sam. He mixes it with cool water. So the temperature is now good for the day. On a hot day, he brings it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is drinking. Subhanallah. The words after that, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, فَشَرِبَ حَتَّى رَضِيتُ. Opposite. Generally, you see, I saw him drink until he was happy. Or I drank until I was happy. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, my happiness is the satiation of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He drank, he's happy, he's smiling, I'm happy. If my Habib some drinks, I get happy. If he can drink, then I get happy. I'm getting happy because of him drinking. They continue on the journey. As they move on, You see a lady in the distance. This lady was known to be very hospitable. Any person who passed by never left empty-handed. You had to take something with you. But they come to her and she's got nothing to offer. It's a time of drought. And they ask her, who are you? She says, my name is Ummu Ma'bad. She says, okay, Ummu Ma'bad. Where's the husband? Husband is gone out. Time of drought. He's gone to do some errands and work. Do you have any milk, anything to offer us? There's nothing to offer. Okay, how about that goat? Does that goat give any milk? He says, no. That goat hasn't given milk. And there's no chance of giving milk now. It's so weak, frail, can't even move. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, okay, can that goat please be brought to me? So the goat is brought to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reads Bismillah, blows on the others, and he starts milking, milk comes out. Amazed, she can't believe it. He says, this is extraordinary. Milk is taken out and all of them drink. Nabi Sallam milks the animal one more time and they drink for a second time. Keep the extra, let us go on. Husband comes back, he says, milk, Ummu Ma'bad? Where's the milk from? He says, one man passed and miraculously some milk, I don't know what he did, he read, he blew, and there's the milk from that goat. So the husband says, describe the person to me. So she gives the description, detailed description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the husband. The husband says, that is the last Nabi of all times. That is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let's make hijrah to Madinah Tayyibah and become Muslim. If what you told me is the description and the detail of that person, he is the Nabi of the time. Let's go and become Muslim. They make hijrat. They make hijrat. Now this is the first year of hijrah. And the miracle of this goat lasted till the 17th year of hijrah. Amur Ramada was the plague that was known as the plague of dust. There was nothing at all. No water to even suck, even from the ground. Dry to the bone everything was. Ummu Ma'bad says, no one's animal in the whole land and country ever gave milk besides that goat that my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read and blew on it. In Amur Ramada, it's still giving milk. Only that goat is giving milk. Why? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read and blew on it. This is the barakat of having ta'alluq with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't have Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with us. We have the miracle of the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with us. If we bring that sunnah into our lives, we'll see barakat in life. Then there wouldn't be any financial crunch. You wouldn't be worried and concerned in the least because you got the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallam continues after the incident of Ummu Ma'bad. Then Abu Bakr again in the incident. He's crying, he's worried, he's concerned. Nabi Sallam says, Abu Bakr, now what's happening? Why are you crying? He says, Ya Rasulallah. He's here, the horseman. Who's that? He's coming, he's got a sword, he's coming to kill you. Nabi Sallam turns around, makes a dua, Allahumma kfinahu bima shi'at. Oh Allah, you suffice us, you take care of him. Abu Bakr is crying, and this person is advancing and coming very close. Nabi Sallam makes dua, he sinks into the ground. Suraqa bin Malik. So then he realized that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is divinely protected. He says, Ya Muhammad, not a Muslim, Ya Muhammad, if you ask Allah to take me out of this, I wouldn't attack you after this. So he says, you sure? He says, okay. Nabi Sallam made dua. His horse lifted out of the ground. His horse actually sunk knee deep into the ground. Comes up again. He sees an opportunity. He pounces. Again Nabi Sallam makes dua. He goes down. His horse sinks into the ground. Second time. And for the third time. On the third time he says, Ya Rasulallah, I promise you, I will never attack you. And you tell me, what must I do for you? I'll do that. Nabi Sallam says, you go back to Makkah Mukarrama, go back to Makkah Mukarrama, and akhfina anna. Whoever you see, tell him, listen, this road via this route is all clear. Go look somewhere else. Just detour the people. Send them on another route. So Suranqa bin Malik, in this incident, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Kayfa bika ya Suranqa, idha labista siwara kisra. O Suranqa bin Malik, you tell me of the time, how would you take that moment when the bangles of the Persian emperor will be given to you? He's thinking to himself, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is running for dear life, protecting his life. He has no soldiers, no people around him, no backup, just one person traveling with him. He's talking about the treasures of the Persian emperor. What's that? The Persian, where is he going to walk and conquer Persia? In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, subhanallah. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when the Mali Ghanima of Persia came to Medina Tayyiba, Nabi Sam said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Everyone says, Abu Bakr, what happened? Allahu Akbar. What's the takbir all about? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Suranqa, Suranqa, come here, Suranqa. You remember these bangles? Allahu Akbar. He says, yes. Reduced to tears. My Habib Sam told me on the Hijrat. He said, Suranqa, those bangles will come to you. He told me in the Hijrat, he told me, those bangles will come. When at Hijrat? And now in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, do they see the fruition of that now? And his shell shock cannot believe it. Conquered Persia, the bangles and the Mali Ghanima, the booties in front. Umar radiallahu anhu, to fulfill the word of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gives it to Suraqa. Suraqa receives it. He gives it back to Umar. He says, O Umar, distribute it between the people. You fulfilled the promise of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You fulfilled it. Give it back. Distribute it. Nabi Sam continues on the Hijrat. The people of Medina Tayyiba, 11th year of Hijri, 6 people came, embraced the deen of Islam, went back and they gave da'wat. 12th year of Hijri, 12 people came, Al-Aqabatul Ula, the first pledge of allegiance took place. The 13th year of Hijri, approximately 75, difference of narrations, 82, 83, people came now, Al-Aqabatul Thaniya took place, the second pledge of allegiance. So Medina Tayyiba was selected, people are waiting in Medina Tayyiba. Every day they come to the outskirts and they're waiting for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When it's hot, unbearable, they return. And then midday, hot, scorching sun, one Jew was on the top of his building and he sees two people walk in. He looks closely, he looks into his books, he looks closely and he says that this is the Nabi of the Ummat. This is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He tells the people of Medina Tayyiba, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ جَدُّكُمْ in some narrations, that the person you were waiting for has come. He has come. They all rush out. Some have seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The vast majority of Medina Tayyiba, they didn't see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When they come, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr are sitting underneath a tree. Subhanallah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was like an ordinary person. He never asked for any pedestal. He never asked for position. No special garb to distinguish him from the rest. He never had to have a branded clothes, so he stands out in society. People must know who's the Hazrat. No. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the people come, they all throng in around Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They all come in by him. They thinking he's the final Nabi. He says, not me. There's Nabi Apak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, when they see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tala'al badru alayna, we hear generally this nazam, tala'al badru alayna, and they are in jubilation, jumping for joy, so happy that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come. They're seeing tala'al badru, the 14th full moon has just come to our city, min thaniyatil wada'i, and they sing those couplets out of happiness for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone is saying, Ya Rasulullah, my house, please come my house. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wait, hold on. This camel of mine has been commanded. whichever house it goes to, it's with the permission of Allah. Leave it. I will not even direct and guide this camel. I leave the reins very loose. It must move with the command of Allah. This animal must move with the command of Allah. Back in time, many, many moons and years ago, over 1,000 years or so before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was it 1,000 or approximately that amount of time, there was a person, the king, his name was Tubba. And he always had scholars of his religion with him, scholars. We would say like ulama. And he would travel every way with his entourage of ulama. The only job is to travel with him. They get paid for it. When they pass by Yathrib, known as Madina Tayyiba to us, they ask the king permission, can we please reside here? We're not coming with you any further. So he says, what you mean? You're part of the entourage. You have to move on with the kafla. He says, this is the city of the final prophet. He says, okay, where's it? He says, in the scriptures. This is the city. All of the scholars, he built a home for every one of them. He built a home. He gave them enough salary to last them as long as they are alive. He built one nice structure and he made dua to Allah. And he says, oh my Allah, if there is an opportunity that the final Nabi comes to this city, let him reside in this house. Let him reside in this house. Nabi Sam, on the final, as he's entering Madina Tayyiba, Nabi Sam stayed in Quba and then continues to Madina Tayyiba. When Nabi Sam comes to Madina Tayyiba, the reins are loose. The animal comes right to the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. It stops at his house. This was the house that was inherited by Abu Ayyub al-Ansari through the ages from Tubba, the king. He had a desire that the Habib and the Nabi of the time must live in my house. I will build one house for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed that to materialize so many thousands of years later, hundreds of years later, that Nabi Sam stayed in that house. Subhanallah. The importance of us having a good niyyah, Allah will take it to success inshallah. Whatever it may be. Now here's Sahaba radiallahu anhum, homes are open. Ya Rasulullah, come my house, come my house. They open their homes for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A burning question for us. Are our homes and lives and hearts open for the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or are we saying, hey, wait, hold on. My daughter is so young now. Why must she wear parda? Listen, son is young. He don't have to wear kurta. Later on, when he gets big, he must make a decision. Is the sunnah in my life or is it not in my life? How many meals am I sitting on the floor? How, when I dress up, am I thinking of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much is my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my life? Have I closed my doors? Have I opened my doors? One brother, we met him recently in Johannesburg. So, Molana is telling me one story and he's telling this person, hey, tell Molana your story, man. Tell him your story. Last day we went for Umrah. So he says, no. Don't talk about all those things. So eventually Molana says, okay, I'll tell you. He doesn't want to tell you. Let me tell you. He says, Molana, Allah give all of us that love that he possesses. He was going for Umrah after many years, about 15 or so years he's going for Umrah. He says, 3 hours before landing in Madina Tayyiba, 3 hours before landing, he's crying and he can't control himself. People around are looking, the air hostess comes, the flight manager comes and says, excuse me sir, you okay? Do you need medication? It's all okay. Can we help you? He's continuing crying, he cannot control himself. Cannot control. 3 hours he cried until they landed. And further than that, continued. Eventually that flight attendant came and said, excuse me, is there anything I can do to just comfort you and make it easy? So Molana, the two of them were traveling together. Molana says he is feeling the loss of his beloved. He's en route to his beloved. Nothing can balm this grief of his besides meeting his beloved. That's all. He just needs to go to Madinah Tayyibah, he'll be fine. As soon as he lands in Madinah Tayyibah, he can't control himself, he falls down. Ordinary person can't control himself, he falls down. So eventually the guards come, they rush, needs a stretcher, medication. No, he's okay, brother, he's okay. So Mawlana was speaking in Arabic with the guards. And he says, you all heard what the daughters told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that I never know a man could cry out of happiness until I saw my father Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu crying. This man is same. He's crying out of happiness that he's going to Madinah Tayyibah to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He can't believe himself and contain himself. After so many years, he's got an invitation to come to the Mubarak feet of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's crying out of that. We ask ourselves, when we go Madinah Tayyibah, is it just another tick in a box, Umrah done for the year? Or is it really like I'm feeling I'm going to my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? In my daily life, how much Durood Sharif am I reading? Allah give all of us tawfiq, the ability. Alhamdulillah, we set for the program. Why we set? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has a very special place in the heart of every one of us. Nothing else kept us back. Ya Allah, I set here because of love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we, this love, this fire now becomes an inferno. The small spark becomes a big fire of love for Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this now, we need to read the seerat. We need to become familiar with the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The poster that's on the board is also got a QR code. If we have to scan that QR code, then that will take us to one of the websites, inshallah, in very soon, in due course. A series will be given online with regards to the different aspects of the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It wouldn't be a daily thing. It will be something manageable for us, maybe once, twice a week or so. Aspects of the seerat will be shared, inshallah. So those of us that want to register, the QR code is available on the poster. If we not techno savvy, then we can go to the website of Ibn Mas'ud.co.za. We can go to that institution or Uswatul Muslimah and we can register. Or there is even a WhatsApp number that we can send a message to and they will join us onto that group. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us tawfiq and the ability that we enhance in the love of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على النبي الكريم والحمد لله رب العالمين